Back to Chris with more of The Other Side of the Glass with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And it comes time for them to move on. And in my opinion, Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 5 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's time to move on. And we've reached that point. Kirk Cousins has done enough now to the point where I'm just sick of it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to discuss all the potential options anymore. I don't want to decide if he's worth a third or a fourth or a fifth round pick, or if the Browns are going to eat $7 million or $17 million of his $27 million salary. I'm just done. It's enough. It's been months, plural now, of just garbage. It's just been garbage. From the NFL Network appearance, to the Chipotle saga now, to his agent posting on Twitter, tongue-in-cheek. If you missed that, oh, I can't believe the Chipotle visit got everyone so riled up. Dude, really? Like, I want to use strong words right now, but I'm not going to. So I'll just say, really? Really? That's your response? Like, that's just clownish. This whole thing is clownish. And if I'm the Falcons, I'm sitting there saying, you know, bleep, 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 bleep it. We have a young stud quarterback that we're trying to make the face of this franchise. And I can't. And I can't do it. Because this guy, Kirk Cousins, continues to eat up all the damn oxygen in the room. Like, just go away, man. Just get out of here. Get off this roster. Get off this team. Go be a starting quarterback somewhere else and let Michael Penix have his time. But instead, it's this cat and mouse game between the organization. And it's not the organization's fault. Again, this isn't Arthur Blank's fault. It's not Terry Fontenot's fault. He was playing great until he got hurt. That was a great move, bringing him here. He was playing like a top quarterback in the league. He absolutely was. And then he wasn't. And he lied. And he cheated you. And he stole money from the Falcons. Got another $10 million for 2026, guaranteed. I mean, come on, man. Haven't you had enough? And for me, the astounding part is, I've had more than one caller at 404-726-0929. Get in on this. What do you think? Am I being too emotional? Or do you feel like Kirk really has value here as a backup? And that all these distractions aside, you're already paying him and you don't know what you're going to get back for him, so you might as well keep him. Noel, I am just shocked at the amount of people that are okay with that. I really am. Like, the amount of people that are measured and pragmatic and sitting here saying, no, look at this from the business side and look at this from the money side and he's the best backup in the league. I'm like, screw that.
Yeah, I don't really care about that part.
No.
I would rather trade him than have him sit here. But if sitting here and waiting for the money fall off turns out to be the best option, then I'm fine with that too. But I want them. I'd rather have the pick. I'd rather have him in a different uniform and us have a chance to try to find somebody to do something for this team.
Right, but I want the pick for this year.
Yeah, for this year.
I want the pick for this year.
If you listen, like, to national media, because, you know, I'm here clicking buttons on overnight.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying stuff like, oh, if I'm the Browns, you know, I offer the Falcons this, that, and the third pick for next year. And I'm like, ain't no next year. Ain't no next year. That's not happening.
Yeah, if
you're not going to get him today to give me a pick tomorrow. Like, that's not, this,
no,
this,
no, no,
this
no.
ain't that.
If I'm the Falcons, I go to Kirk and I say the following. Mr. Cousins, we have a trade in place with the Cleveland Browns. Waive your no trade clause now, and we're going to get back a fourth round pick in this year's draft. Capiche? Capiche. And that's it.
Yeah, like, if you want to go, wave it now, or we're going to be looking at each other for a real long time.
And if the Browns don't understand at this point that we're not cutting him.
Not cutting him.
I don't know what the what's the difference?
Because that's the whole national conversation, right? Like, oh, just wait for the Falcons to cut him. Why would you trade for him? They're going to cut. They're not going to cut him. I know that's what everybody thinks they should do. I know that's what everybody wants them to do. It's not. I know that's what Kirk Cousins wants. It's not happening.
They're not having a $40 million dead cap hit.
It's not happening. having it.
There's no reason to.
And I think that's the part that Cousins and his agents haven't figured out yet. Like, they have not figured out in their brain that the way that this contract was constructed that y'all signed means you're not going to get cut.
No. All right. With that said, that's a perfect backdrop. Let's get to five true and false questions.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, Turtle. Well, since we are in silly season and we are stuck in Falcons bizarro world, true or false, the Falcons will be a top draft story again.
I'm going to say false. Because I think the most likely scenario, well, there's two. They just take the edge at 15 or they trade down. They're not trading up. They're not trying to get one of the quarterbacks. They know they're not in the running for Carter or Hunter. So I think at the end of the day, for the first time, hopefully, in 5 years, we're going to have a ho-hum draft where the Falcons just do the damn right thing that they're supposed to be doing and not get Bijan Robinson or Kyle Pitts or Drake London when they need help on the defense. So I'm going to, with a little prayer hands emoji, I'm going to say false because they actually do what they're supposed to be doing and just take an edge or trade down to get more picks.
I mean, but are they supposed to just take an edge or get an impactful edge? Because I don't want you to just take an edge. I want you to get somebody that's going to come here and do something.
Well, I think...
we can get another Tack McKinley.
No, sure, for sure.
That doesn't solve the problem.
But I think there's enough good ones in this year's draft that...
Okay, fair.
Even if they get the fourth best one, it's still going to be pretty good.
Okay, fair. That's all I'm asking.
I hope so.
That's all I'm asking.
If something happens again and they try to get cute, and I saw them linked to an Ole Miss defensive end that I can't pronounce his last name that has sort of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, stop it.
When you try too hard in the scouting department.
No, yeah, and I also saw them linked to the second best defensive player from Michigan. Not the tackle that's going to go number 3 overall. Like, no, stop it. We all know the players. Carter, Williams, Stewart, Green. If it's just one of those guys is going to be there, just take them.
All right, so uneventful draft. All right, we'll see. All right. True or false, Dolman to Newsel will be a seamless transition.
Well, is it going to be Newsel? He's still not signed.
Okay, so that don't sound... So you even asking that question means it's not going to be seamless.
Well, he's a restricted free agent right now, and there's been no movement on that front whatsoever. You're not going to draft a center in the first round, that's for damn sure. I still think it's going to be Newsel. I don't know what the holdup is.
That's the interesting part.
But yes, to answer your question, true, I think it'll be fine. Because the two guys playing next to him are both really good.
Really good.
So I'm not too worried about that. If he can snap the damn ball, which people who don't understand that Drew Dolman had a very large issue with both Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix snapping the damn ball.
Did.
And with Desmond Ritter the year before that.
He did. That did happen.
I don't know why that
happened. That's kind of why we got blindsided with the big, like, free agent. Because, like, he was, like, top 5, 6 on people's free agent board. And I think that kind of... through people that watch the Falcons every day, kind of off a bit, but we'll see what happens in Chicago.
Yeah, so on that one, I'm going to say true, and it's less about him, and he just needs to be okay.
Right, I agree. Let's see. True or false, Kirk Cousins will be the next quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, true. I'm going to say they find a way to get it done.
Yeah, I guess the real question now is how soon?
Yeah, or how soon and for what?
Right, exactly.
I still think the most likely scenario is after the draft, although you hear me pounding the table right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for anything else but that, because it needs to happen right now.
Right, like we want the pick, but I think Cousins is going to try to stall this out until, quote-unquote, after the draft or some type of reassurance. And like Joe said earlier, I think he's going to wind up hurting himself with that, but we'll see. True or false, Kyle Pitts finally takes the leap.
Well, that's that's tough because, like, the rookie season was very good. Like, so...
Everything but TDs, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, would it... let me put it to you this way. Would it be shocking if he had 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns? No. No,
I think we'd all be like, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Right. So I think that's a little bit of a tough question to answer because I don't know if you could really consider it a breakout. I think it would just be more of playing up to his potential.
Okay, so let me adjust the question. Is this the year that the Falcons finally figure out how to use Pitts?
There's the money question, Noel.
Got to ask the right questions.
I'm going to say true.
There we go. I think so, too. I'm crossing my fingers and my toes. I'm really, really hoping that this Pitts jersey isn't a dud. But none of my jerseys are duds because I don't pay retail and I don't care whose name's on the back. Go Falcons. But I'm also thinking that this is the year they try to figure out how to get more of those, like, mid-zone, you know, sitting the soft, catch the body in front, possession receiver, and not really, you know, try to make him fight for it. Because he's a pretty tight end. He's not going to fight for it. He's a pretty tight end.
Well, and he also needs to put 100% effort in.
I mean, let's 100%. Be honest. Like, you can't slag off on routes because you feel like you haven't gotten the ball or whatever.
Yeah,
situation.
We've been beating around that bush and now for like 2 years.
Yeah, and we've seen it. It's to me, that's a fair critique. Like, we've seen him feel like he hasn't been used in the third quarter. Somebody looks for him. He's like, oh, me? Oh, oops.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then it's usually something disastrous. Okay, last question. True or false, the Atlanta Falcons defensive line will be fine without Grady Jarrett?
Kind of makes me sad to say, but true. I mean, they, and for the sheer reason, Noel, they have so many bodies.
Yeah.
Dorless, Trice, Rook, Contavious Street, mm-hmm. TQ Graham, AK. Now you bring in Floyd. They have a lot of bodies to rotate. Onyemata's still here. I don't know if he will be.
It's like a soundbite from Snowfall. Him. Bodies. Yeah, the D-line got bodies.
So if all those guys are still there, yeah. I mean, because Terry couldn't have missed on all those guys, right?
I know, right? Like
you can't, you
five
can't
have, of them got
you can't, a, you can't have missed. And another guy, Zach Harrison, still
yeah.
there. I mean, there's so we just rattled off 8 guys. That
it's gonna be by committee. That's for
half
sure.
Half of
so.
Them better be damn productive, otherwise we got ourselves a serious problem. All right, Noel, great job on the 5 Falcons. True and false. Coming up next, gonna pivot. Atlanta Hawks in the home stretch here. Can they actually make some noise in the playoffs? I have one theory that tells me that they might actually get through a series, unless it's against Cleveland or Boston. But we'll find out next because we're going to welcome in our good buddy Caleb Johnson, our Hawks reporter for 92.9 The Game. He also, I believe, took in some college hoops action at State Farm Arena, so we'll get his take on all of that as well. Don't go anywhere. Again, doing something fun today. I've had a bunch of people pop in and out so far, which has been cool. Check out my Twitter spaces at C Thomas Radio. I saw our buddy Mr. Yo in there and a bunch of other. Our buddy Abe Gordon popped in for a second. So if you have a minute, listen, leave a comment, leave a like. Give me a follow at C Thomas Radio. And then also your second homework assignment for the day. I just created my YouTube channel. It is also, to keep it simple, at C Thomas Radio. And I am waiting for my approval to go live. So starting next week, I will have a live YouTube channel for y'all to watch the show and comment as well. So we are taking the show into the 21st century here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up next, back to the WadeFord.com hotline with Caleb Johnson, Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you till 5 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Disagree with me on Kirk Cousins, or if you agree, love to hear your take on Twitter. If you can't get through on the phone lines at 404-726-0929. And then starting next week, I will also be live on YouTube, so you can comment and watch the show as well at C Thomas Radio. Right now, let's switch gears from Kirk Cousins for just a little bit and head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in our good buddy Caleb Johnson, who had expanded duties last night. Got a break from covering the Hawks and got to witness some college basketball at State Farm Arena. Caleb, first of all, was it a 10-hour day for you, a 12-hour day for you? What were we looking at?
Yeah, man, it was certainly a long day. As it's one of those things that I hadn't warned my wife ahead of time that there were going to be 2 games. It was just one of those, like, yeah, I'm covering the Sweet 16, and, you know, it starts at 7. And it was like, oh, no, no, no. And the second game starts at 10. And I think what really was the sweetener on top of everything is when the second game had a 22-minute halftime. Wow. That started around, like, I think it was 10:24 at night, when it was like, oh, cool, 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 cool. And now we have 22 minutes to sit here. I was very thankful that the Braves were playing, and so I pulled them up on my laptop because I told some friends that were sitting next to me, I was like, I absolutely would have dozed off. Not because the basketball wasn't incredible, because it was some very competitive basketball, but certainly they are far more interested in the TV aspect of these games than they are about the actual local aspect of these things when you're on the East Coast and you're tipping off at 10 o'clock at night. But, yeah, man, I mean, a good couple of games that we got to see. I certainly am not, like, I am not locked into college basketball, and I will readily admit that to anyone who asks. But whenever the tournament comes around, I do like to watch. However, you know, when you go from covering the NBA on a regular basis and then college comes to town and you're really spending some dedicated time watching it up close, it is certainly an adjustment just because of how the game, it's a very different game that gets played. And, you know, if we're all honest, they're not quite as skilled as the NBA guys are, which can at times be very frustrating, and other times creates a lot of excitement and keeps things pretty close, as it certainly did with Michigan State and Ole Miss. But that, I think that second game, that's where you saw the college aspect be very frustrating, as a team like Michigan was fighting for things and really in it, and then they just went like 6 minutes and couldn't buy a basket because Auburn put the clamps on. Yeah, really, really cool scene to see. Also cool to see how, like, Auburn absolutely packed out State Farm Arena. It felt like a home game for the Tigers, which I did not expect coming in, just because I thought, you know, I thought Michigan would travel pretty well. But Auburn certainly was in there, and I would expect they'll be back in full force, you know, on Sunday.
All right, so before we get into the Hawks on the court, Trae Young did something pretty cool this week, huh?
Yeah.
He's the record that he – didn't he set a record of some sort?
I'm trying to remember now, because it kind of feels like he does things on a regular basis. I know – Dyson was the more recent one, at least in my memory, of the 200 steals. But what am I forgetting since a few days ago?
Well, we can do this in real time here, because I did send it to Carl and Mike.
Uh-oh.
To talk about. He did. Okay, here we go. Trae Young is now the youngest player in the NBA history to reach 12,000 points and 4,500 assists, passing LeBron James.
Yeah. So I you're reminding me that now, because the thing that stood out from that is I was like, this is such a LeBron stat. You know, we have those now where we're like the first player by the age of 27 to do this and this, and like certainly, you know, cool achievements. I think the one that was maybe more impactful to Trae was him passing John Stockton a couple weeks ago. When it came to assists in a season, like, it's just one of those. He's certainly been on an individual tear stat-wise. Of course, it's always funny because – and I do appreciate it from Trae, but whenever you ask Trae about his individual stats, and I've stopped doing it, quite honestly, just because it is the easiest way for Trae to go, the individual accolades, sure, they're great, but I want to win. I want to win, and that's what is most important to me. Now, certainly, you know, what they've been doing the last couple of games, well, not ideal in terms of wanting to win, in terms of wanting to secure the seventh seed and have a home play-in game, all of those sorts of things. But I do think there have been some outliers that have kind of negatively impacted this Hawks team as of late. And certainly that Miami game was just one that if a team is going to shoot that hot from 3-point for three quarters, it doesn't matter how bad your defense is or how good your defense is. I mean, teams shouldn't be able to shoot as well as they did, like Miami did, against the Hawks. And that certainly, like, that was the difference in that game. That's that one got out of hand super quick. So in terms of the overall, like, Trey's been doing some incredible stuff as far as stats go. Nothing that's going to, like, win him an award, I would say. It's certainly more of, you know, what's happening with Zachary Risacher and his fight for Rookie of the Year, what's happening with Dyson Daniels and his fight for Defensive Player of the Year, with him being, you know, only one of three players since the year 2000 to have over 200 steals in a season. It's been pretty incredible. And I think it's kind of led us to the point that when we do see Trey have another historic career kind of achievement, it's like, oh yeah, just another day.
All right. So as we move towards the latter stages here, only a couple of games left before the playoffs begin. Let's stay with the realistic scenario that they finish here in the seventh seed. What is their best path forward? What is their best strategy against the most likely teams that they're going to have to face to get themselves into a position where, I mean, Caleb, I'm not saying they're going to win a series, but at least be competitive.
Yeah, I think so. I kind of gone back and forth on this. I mean, as far as finishing out the regular season, it's just beating Orlando. Like, of course, I mean, you can do the whole you have to win every game, because sure, that's the most obvious thing to say, I think, about this team when you've got, what, you know, 8-10 games to go in the regular season. But the biggest thing is beating Orlando. You've got two opportunities to face them, and they are your direct competition, for taking the seventh seed. And I think you really want a home play-in game, because that is going to make things easier. You don't have to travel. You're more familiar, obviously. You got your own fans in the building, so that you can win that game and then move on to what you'd be playing Boston. You'd be playing the two seed in that situation. Now, the interesting route would be if you were to get in that 7-8 matchup against Orlando, lose, and then play the winner of the 9-10, which I would expect to be Chicago, just because Chicago's been playing so well as of late. I mean, look at what they beat the Lakers the other night in a walk-off. But winning the 8-9 game, I guess, whoever is the winner of the 9-10 and loser of the 7-8 gets to play Cleveland. And, like, if the Hawks found themselves in a position where they're taking on DeAndre Hunter and the Cleveland Cavaliers after having traded him at the deadline, like, the storylines would certainly be there. I think if they take care of business as the seventh seed and go on to face the Boston Celtics, I mean, we just saw them a couple of years ago take Boston to six games. So it's certainly, you know, not outside the realm of possibility. I get that Boston hadn't won a championship at that point, and so certainly you would expect them to not take any series lightly, but I think they do. I think those guys are the type of team that tend to warm up in the playoffs and take things more seriously as they progress along. So, yeah, I think it would be far more interesting to see a Hawks-Cleveland series. But certainly, you know, if it ends up being Hawks-Celtics, we've seen that matchup time and time again. I wouldn't expect the Hawks to win that series. But then again, I mean, Chris, the fact that we're in a position where we're talking about the Hawks not just being a throw-in play-in team that might advance, but we're certainly expecting them to make the playoffs. We were coming into this season not knowing if they were a play-in team, and they are going to end up winning more games this year than they did last year, and they didn't have Jalen Johnson this year, and they traded away technically, you know, and DeJounte Murray, who was looked at as their second best player in the offseason. So certainly how things have come over the course of this season, have there been You know, have they taken their lumps along the way and disappointed in certain moments? Absolutely, they have. And can they play better? Yes. But I think from where we started to where they are right now, this has been a really positive season for this team.
Talking all things Hawks with our buddy Caleb Johnson, covers them for us right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 5 o'clock. Okay, as we stand here right now, what do you think the likelihood either or both Niang and LeVert return next season?
Yeah, I've actually been going back and forth with this with some friends who cover the team, just because we've been trying to figure out, you know, what this roster is going to look like. I think the truthful answer is not going to be the one that Hawks fans necessarily want to hear, because I think it's going to come down to money, and no one ever likes when it comes down to money, because I think the Hawks are still in a position where they're not going to go into the luxury tax. And so can they get Karis on a team friendly deal, or has he played too well that he's going to require more money than what they're going to want to invest? I think Niang is going to be the one who returns, just because he is on more of a team-friendly deal. But certainly he could be a trade piece for this team in the offseason. I think it's really like, what do you want to do with Kobe Bufkin? Because he's someone that, if you want my personal opinion, I'm ready to move on from, because I'm kind of tired of the injury bug that's hit him, and it's been unfortunate, you know, potentially outside of his control. However, it's tough to go into year three of your career when the Hawks are going to have to decide by October of this year whether they want to pick up his fourth year, and having to make that decision before they've even really got to see half a season of him healthy, much less a full season. Leads me to be on the side of like, yeah, trade him and find what you can get for him, because I'm much more, I know what I'm going to get from Karis LeVert. And honestly, I just think he's been an incredible vet, Chris. Like, the way he has positively impacted that locker room. And honestly, George too. Like, those two guys have been such great vets for Trae Young and just the team overall, that you don't often get those guys in the NBA anymore, because of contracts and how they all work, that they're getting kicked out of the league because it's easier to pay the cheaper, you know, cheaper, younger guys. So I would love to see them both back, but I think George is the more likely one to return, just because it would not surprise me at all if Karis ends up pricing himself out of being able to come back.
All right, Caleb, appreciate the time. As always, sounds like you owe your wife a nice dinner tonight, so enjoy that.
Absolutely, man. You have a good one.
All right, see ya. That is our buddy Caleb Johnson there. Chris Thomas hanging out with you for about another 90 minutes. Our boy Dylan Matthews in the Hometown Take comes your way then. When we get back, I want you to hear two different things. One, our newest pass rusher, Leonard Floyd, joined the station this week. What did he have to say about joining the team? And also, Brian McFadden says there may be a sleeper team for Kirk Cousins that's not the Cleveland Browns. I'll let you hear what he has to say about that. I'm hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. Hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. Got a Spaces going on right now, having a bunch of people hop in and out. Really appreciate you if you're checking it out. Leave a comment. Give me a follow. Let me know what you like and don't like from the show about Kirk Cousins. Should he stay? Should he go? And then also, my budding YouTube channel. I just got it started. Got a couple of people subscribing as well. And then next week, I'm going to have a live YouTube show to go along with the Twitter Spaces, so you can watch the show and comment as well if you can't jump on the phones at 404-726-0929. Again, hit me up on Twitter, C Thomas Radio, YouTube, C Thomas Radio. Give me a subscribe. And I'm back giving you a surprise team. A dark horse team has entered the race for Kirk Cousins. I'll tell you who it is next.
The other side of the glass is on.
Oh, my God.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 5 o'clock. Makes me think, is there any team outside of the Browns that could potentially want Kirk Cousins? You would think at this point, The Giants are out of it because they got Russell Wilson. They got Jameis Winston. You would think the Titans are out of it because, by all reports, they are linked to Cam Ward at number one. You would think the Colts are out of it. They said they were going to bring in a veteran competitor-ish, and I use that word very loosely, by the guy that they brought in to compete for their starting spot with AR, Anthony Richardson. That guy happened to be Daniel Jones. I don't know if that would eliminate Kirko from the running, but it looks like it has for now. The Vikings? Nah. Can you go home again? I guess. And we'll let you hear from J.J. McCarthy in a little bit. He says, yeah, they haven't told me that I'm going to be the starter yet. I have to earn it. Okay. Reports are out of there. He may have had a couple of too many drive-through orders during his rehab, and he may have to work his way back into shape. That was never a problem for him at Michigan, so I think he'll be fine. So if they turn the keys over to him there, who could this mystery team be? Well, Noel, if I asked you, outside of Kirk Cousins, who is the most annoying quarterback in the NFL, your answer would probably be
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, correct. You get the $64,000 question. Noel, good job. And where has he been linked to? Good old Steel City, Pittsburgh. But now there was a report last week from NFL Network that Aaron Rodgers might skip the season, or he might straight up retire. So if that happens, what the heck are the Steelers going to do? I believe they're drafting at 21, which to me is too high, or too low, rather, to get in the mix for Shador or Cam. So then what are your options? How does Kirk Cousins sound in Pittsburgh? Well, Bryant McFadden, co-host of All Things Covered podcast for CBS, really good analyst, joins Dukes and Bell every Friday. And Carl Dukes asked BMAC straight up, if Rodgers retires or sits out the season, should the Falcons go after him? This was his response.
On X, kind of throwing that out into the atmosphere to Steeler Nation. Because right now we only have Mason Rudolph as a notable potential starting option. That's it. If Rodgers happens to retire and none of these quarterbacks fall, especially in the first round, if I'm Pittsburgh, I throw out a late-round pick to Atlanta for Kirk Cousins, in my opinion. Because I don't know if you want to go into this season where every year is playoff aspirations for Pittsburgh, right? Every year. Do you really believe Mason Rudolph can get you to another playoff opportunity as a full-time starter? I'm not quite ready to say that. I would throw out a late flyer, late-round pick to Atlanta for Kirk Cousins, no question. And I would have Kirk Cousins as a starting quarterback for Pittsburgh, in my opinion. Yes, I would welcome that if Aaron Rodgers decides to call it quits or just does not want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
But both Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, I know we got a breaker, they're so passive-aggressive. He doesn't want anybody over his shoulder. Any team he could possibly go to, they're going to have Bryant, a quarterback drafted, whether it's Jalen Milroe in the case of the Steelers. There'll be somebody that the fans will be wanting to see.
Well, at this point, Mike, Carl, in Kirk Cousins' career, he understands what he is. He's not a bona fide starter anymore in terms of the future. So
does
this
he,
is
though?
A trial-by-error process, and yeah. I think humility will sit in for him and understanding. You know what? What happened last year in Atlanta, didn't play my best, eventually got benched. Phoenix took over. I know what my role is. But if you're telling me, Pittsburgh, that it's my job to lose for this season, right, and even if you do draft a guy, 9 times out of 10, when he is in the saddle, I'm no longer here anyway. I welcome that because, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, it seems like Kirk Cousins still believes he could play this year.
Yes, he does.
Yep.
Right? Yes, he does.
So if that's the case, and if Pittsburgh is in a situation to what you guys presented to me, Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the picture. You only have Mason Rudolph. If you're Kirk Cousins, you believe you can play in front of Mason Rudolph. And if you're the starter, it's your job to hold on to that position, regardless who they might draft early at the quarterback position in this upcoming year's draft.
Okay. Again, that was Bryant McFadden on Dukes and Bell yesterday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Could the Pittsburgh Steelers be a sleeper team for Kirk Cousins? To me, it makes all the sense in the world because, Noel, who are they going to get if Aaron Rodgers retires or if Aaron Rodgers says, I'm going to skip the year, which is reportedly on the table? There's nobody out there. Everybody's gone. I've been talking to Noel. I've been talking about, I think you've been with me a couple of times throughout this offseason about this game of musical chairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a game of musical chairs. Well, guess what? Game's over. We are now at a point where the musical chairs game has come to a stop, and the team that is left without a quarterback right now is Cleveland. But if Aaron Rodgers decides to take himself out of the equation, then that's another team mm-hmm. that needs a quarterback. So you could potentially have Cleveland and Pittsburgh fighting over the services for Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be a godsend for the Falcons if a team starts getting into a bidding war for Kirk Cousins, whereas a month ago there was no market for him and we were resigning ourselves to the fact that they may actually cut him. Now we know that that's not on the table because at the very worst they're going to trade him after the draft. But if you get Cleveland and Pittsburgh to get into a bidding war before the draft, I mean, now, I mean, who knows? I mean, now maybe you're talking about eating instead of $5 million of the contract, half, more, and a pick?
And a pick, right.
Sign me up.
I saw an exit out of this, but a bidding war is like you, like that's match made in heaven if you're the Falcons, right? Like you duke it out. Whoever has the best offer in the end, you know, that's where he'll go. But that's the beauty of not trading him, right? Like you had the little bit of leverage that you had, you used it, you held him, and now you had a situation where the Steelers are looking at, I mean, it might be Kirk Cousins or rebuild, and that's a place that doesn't want to or can't afford a rebuild.
No, because of their defense.
Exactly.
Their defense is ready to win
right
now. Well,
their defense and their history. Like, it just doesn't allow them to do a, you know, a blow it all up, rebuild a situation.
And they also just traded and gave $100 million to DK Metcalf.
Exactly. So somebody got to get the ball to them.
You need a quarterback that's ready to win right now. And people keep saying to me, oh, Turtle, the Browns are just going to take Shedeur Sanders if he's there, too. How the heck do you know that? What if Shedeur Sanders is the fourth-ranked quarterback on their board? What if Travis Hunter is their number one player on their board?
And that's very possible.
And Shedeur Sanders is the 12th best player on their board. You're telling me they're not going to take their number one player on the board? You pair him up in that secondary to play corner?
Mm-hmm. It's very possible, especially when you have a team like Cleveland with like a pretty good amount of holes to fill, right? So if you don't believe in the quarterback, and that's not me saying that, I'm saying if you're Cleveland, if you don't believe in a Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or whatever the case, then why go get him? Why wouldn't you go the other direction and get the dual threat, double side player, and then try to roll the dice with a veteran? Why wouldn't you? Because you're Cleveland. Where are you? You're in quarterback hell. You've been in quarterback hell damn near my whole life. So why wouldn't you to get other pieces to get your team together and then take a flyer on Kirk Cousins and see what happens if you don't believe in the quarterbacks coming out?
And the other thing, too, is you get Kirk Cousins, and then let's say they take Abdul Carter. Now you have the best edge rush pairing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a quarterback that's more than competent. You're telling me you can't compete for a playoff spot? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think everyone who keeps saying that the Falcons...
Too? I mean, not Cleveland. Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, you get Kirk Cousins in there with Pickens and with DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm. And a full defense.
Oh, yeah.
This is a defense that's been waiting on an offense, right? Like, they've been waiting on a quarterback to actually take them somewhere. And maybe this is your shot.
And then they have Freiermuth at tight end as well. I mean, you'd be – and Njoku's in Cleveland. I mean, mm-hmm. listen, both of those options instantly become very attractive, and then you're setting yourself up to say, okay, if you're the Falcons, let's open up the checkbook, boys, and see what we got. You know, let's take a look at those draft picks, shall we? You know, oh, Pittsburgh, you're willing to give me a fourth, huh? Cleveland, where's your three? How's that looking for me, Chief? 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you for another hour until 5 o'clock. Dylan Matthews is in the building for the hometown take. He'll take over for me at 5, leading into all of our coverage tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United versus NYCFC, rather. Pre is at 6:30. Kick is at 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with our buddy Abe Gordon and company, and then Mike Conte and Jason Longshore on the coverage. All right, before we get out of here, did want you to hear a couple of things from Leonard Floyd. The first thing he talked about, he joined the midday show earlier this week, was coming home as a Georgia boy.
Man, it was very fast. It was quicker than last year for me, you know what I'm saying? And as soon as I knew the Falcons was ready to come and get me, I told my agent, yeah, let's go, man. Shoot, I'm a Georgia boy, and I grew up loving the Falcons. Also loving the Georgia Bulldogs, so it's only right that I seize the opportunity to put on that jersey and helmet if it's there, you know?
Yeah, man, keep that same energy all season long. We need it. We need leaders on this defense now that Grady's gone, and maybe Leonard Floyd, a vet, a guy who's has a very good back of the football card in this league, could get that done. One more from him before we catch a break. How has he done it with so many teams consistently, getting 8, 9, 10 sacks a year?
It's like, hey, for me, it's like I travel the world and get sacks, man. You can't beat it.
Yeah, that's the goal there. Travel the world and get sacks. And his latest stop, maybe his final stop, if he performs well, will be here in Atlanta. All right, we got a jam-packed final hour for you guys and gals out there listening. We got Myles Garrett coming up next. Going to talk Falcons and Braves with him. We got Deshaun Tate talking Sweet 16, Elite 8, and then Final Four coming up at 4:20. And then we will close the show with your phone calls at 404-726-0929. Again, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. I am hosting a Twitter live space. Had so many of you guys jump in and out throughout the show. Really appreciate you checking it out. This is something we're going to be doing regularly from now on. And then also subscribe on YouTube at C Thomas Radio. That will be up and running next week. I will be doing live simulcast broadcasts so that you guys can watch and comment, and I will respond in real time on the show. So we are getting it done, baby. Moving and grooving into the 21st century with the technology. Again, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio, and same thing at YouTube at C Thomas Radio, and we are rocking and rolling. Coming up next, he needs to go. Now, we'll find out what Myles Garrett thinks about Kirk Cousins and much more. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.